There are these topics in sales that are just absolutely beaten to death. One topic that I never see enough content on is this topic of referrals, specifically the mistakes that sales reps make when asking for referrals. So guess what? Today we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so the game plan today is to talk about the mistakes that people make when it comes to referrals. So let's get right into it. Mistake number one, you're going to say duh. You're going to say Castain, that sells like 101. You're going to say Castain, what's with the captain? Obvious cape here. You're treating us like imbeciles by telling us this. And yet I'm here to tell you that even after you guys break my balls for saying this, I am willing to bet that many of you are guilty of mistake number one. You ready for it? Not asking for the damn referral in the first place. And I know there's lots of reasons why or how you justify not asking for a referral. And some of it, believe it or not, we're going to address in this week's episode. But I have to say, it can be kind of silly, these things that we put on ourselves when it comes to sales. Sometimes we make things into much bigger deals than they need to be. And it's whether it's our fear or discomfort or whatever it is, we make it into this giant type of thing. When I just have two thoughts about this for you on this one, and then we're going to like move right on because this doesn't deserve a lot of time because it's so damn obvious, but it needs to be said. Number one, what is the worst possible thing that could happen if you ask for a referral? Nobody is going to take their business elsewhere because you had the audacity, the nerve to ask them for a referral. Nobody's going to do that. And if you have a client like that, I say get rid of them, fire them. They're not worth keeping. Seriously, remind them to go take their meds. Get them a cup of chamomile tea or some shit, because I can't imagine anybody, and in the entire time that I've been in sales, I have never had anybody get offended and give me a hard time for doing my job. This is what salespeople do. So I would just put that out of your head completely. That's number one. Number two, I want to point out how silly this idea of feeling funny about asking for referrals is. And please take it in the right spirit. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I just want to point out something kind of ridiculous so that maybe you step back and go, you know what? I guess I get Castain's point. So here it is. Many of you are uncomfortable asking for referrals and won't do it because of that discomfort. I get it, and I hear you loud and clear. But yet, in the same breath, you'll tell me that you'll cold call strangers. And I don't know how people are out by you. I can't imagine that New York has a monopoly on assholes on the other end of the phone. But sometimes people, right? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, is it possible that sometimes people are a little less than polite when you call them and interrupt them from what they're doing? So what you're saying is, it's okay to call a stranger. It's okay to deal with people hanging up on you and being rude with you. And by the way, it's not just phone calls. It's okay to send that cold email and to a stranger that you don't know and interrupt them. But it's not okay to approach someone where you've busted your ass and somebody who loves you and is buying from you on a regular basis, but it's not okay to do that. So I just want to point out that logic. That was mistake number one, not asking. Now let's spend some time where we really need to spend some time. Mistake number two, asking only after you've earned it, quote unquote, earned it. Asking only when you've earned it. By the way, I put this question out there a lot for those of you who don't know. I have a few sales playbook communities. One of them is on LinkedIn. And by the way, if you happen to be on LinkedIn, look us up. It's called Sales Playbook, real creative there. Sales Playbook. We have 61,000 members. You can also look us up on Facebook, also called Sales Playbook. It might over there might be Paul Castain's Sales Playbook. I'm not sure. And we have only a few hundred there, but fairly active. And on Twitter, I have about 115,000, I think, followers over there. And I always put questions out. So I've put this particular question out on Twitter, in the LinkedIn community, and over on Facebook. And I asked the question, when do you ask for referrals? And most people came back and said, you don't ask for referrals, you earn it. Now that's a beautiful soundbite right there. That is a seriously, that sounds great. That's the kind of stuff pens are gonna be going. You say that, people can say, you're the shit, man. They're gonna be writing that down. Wow, that is really brilliant. But now beyond the soundbite, I'm telling you, it's not a practical philosophy. Now, of course, when it comes to your clients, you should be earning that referral. But if you only limit yourself to the referrals that you've earned, you're going to miss out on, I'll give you three, and there's more than three, but I'm going to share three other opportunities. So for starters, yes, by all means, earn that referral. But don't wait for some magical moment in the client relationship when the heavens open up and the hand of God comes down and says, you have earned the referral. And I think God would sound like that, with a New York accent and somebody trying to do a deep, ominous voice. I believe God would sound like that. Seriously, I do. And when it comes to that, like, stop waiting for that. Yes, earn it. Do the right things by your client. But don't wait till you do some miraculous type of maneuver and you made them look like an amazing rock star and they just got a $100,000 bonus because of you. You have earned it. Don't just wait for that. Please strive for earning it. You should. We should take care of our clients. But there are three other opportunities where you're not necessarily earning it. How about this? Story I always tell on this podcast. Those of you who've been listening to me for a while, you might want to go and just disappear for like a minute while I tell the same damn story you've heard me tell 15 times at least. But several years ago, when I had set my sights on becoming the number one sales rep in a company where there was over 375 sales reps worldwide, I was ranked 60th when I set the goal of becoming number one within 3 years. I set the goal. So one of the things that I always recommend that people do when you want to get better at something, find the people who are getting the result that you want and model that behavior. So we were at an annual sales meeting for the company and our annual kickoff meeting, as a matter of fact. And lo and behold, there is the number one sales rep who was number one 2 years in a row, shooting pool, drinking beer. So what a nice combination. So I made note of what beer he was drinking, went up to the bartender, asked for another one of those, approached this person as humbly as I possibly could, almost like, do you remember on Seinfeld how he approached the soup Nazi, where I bowed my head and placed the money and scooted over to the side, except there was no money. I placed the beer on the pool table and scoot, like, just without ever like making eye contact with the number one sales rep. I just moved humbly, not quick, no rapid movements. I didn't know if this person was packing and might put a cap in my ass or something. So I just moved to the side. But seriously, I just bought the guy a beer and I said, hey, I'm sure you're asked this a lot, but if there's a secret, what's your secret? You hit this 2 years in a row, and I noticed that the difference between you and the person who ranked number two is pretty substantial, so you kind of kicked their ass pretty bad here. What is it? And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, Paul, everybody asked me that question. I thought I was getting dismissed, like I had this arrogant type of ass on my hands, but no, he was actually quite humble, believed in giving back, and he said, people ask me this all the time, and nobody ever seems to follow the advice because I think it makes them uncomfortable. And I remember him saying to me, I'm hoping you'll be the one who actually follows the advice. And the advice was this. Ready? This is how he made number one. He said, every appointment that I run, new business appointment, because by the way, we had a sales model where we, like a handoff type of sales model, where we would, a pure hunter role, where we brought in the business and handed it over. So there was no nurturing of the accounts. So what he did on every new business appointment, meeting with a prospect for the first time, at the end of that meeting, he would ask them for a referral. And he could see, I have, by the way, people always tell me I have a bad poker face even then. And he said, I could see by the look on your face you're uncomfortable with it. But I'm telling you, this is what I did. I'm not making anything up. I'm not setting you up. He said, just try it. And if it doesn't work, then do whatever. He said, but beware of the fact that you're not going to want to do this. Because what I've basically told you to do, if you were a fighter and you've been a righty, I've basically told you to go out there and fight southpaw. Really, it's just something that you're not used to doing. So you're going to want to avoid it. So I started doing this. And I have to tell you, back in those days, we had a team that was helping us set appointments and everything. I was running about 3 appointments a day. And every appointment, not every appointment would give me a referral, but I found that on average, I was running about 3 appointments a day, and I was getting 1 to 2 referrals on average per day on top of that. So what this did was this opened up my opportunity. So remember, before I go on to the rest of these ideas for you on opportunities to ask people that where you haven't really earned it yet, I want to point out that, again, it costs you nothing to do this. You have nothing to lose. I've been utilizing this for 20 years this year, maybe 21 years. I've been doing this. Actually, the further we go along, I'm going to keep adding years to it, because I just realized, once again, no, it was more like 22 years. It was 1997 that I took this guy's advice. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of maybe 3 to 5 things at most that I did that took me from being ranked 60th worldwide to the top 12th, to the top 12, and then promoted to run the entire state of New Jersey. All their sales efforts, all their operations, all their franchising. So it was a major promotion that I was able to get as a result of it. Not one person in the 20 years that I've been doing this threw me out for doing it. Not one person ever even gave me a facial expression that made me feel like I stepped over the line in doing this. Now, I'll be totally honest with you and tell you, I have not asked in every single appointment I've run, only because you guys know how it is. I mean, sometimes, whatever it is, it's a chemistry thing, and the vibe just isn't right. It doesn't feel well. But I'll tell you what, if you were to calculate how many times I've asked over the last 20 years, it's probably 95% of the time. I can't even begin to put a dollar amount on what this has brought my family. It has just been a tremendous thing, and it's something I use to this day. So every appointment that you run, new business appointment, at the end of that appointment, ask them for a referral. The second instance where you haven't earned a referral yet, but I think you should go ahead and ask, would be with your LinkedIn connections. Now, you might be thinking, well, geez, how the hell do I do that? Because a lot of these things come down to, well, I don't know how to do it, or it feels weird, or I'm worried about it getting weird, or it feels awkward, or whatever. Well, with LinkedIn, I've been advocating, I believe is the proper pronunciation, this idea that every single week you should be speaking with at least 2 to 3 people in your network. Again, if you've been following me for a while, this is something I talk about all the time. This isn't new to you. But what might be new to you is, what the hell do you talk about when you get on the phone with them? So I don't want to make this whole podcast about that conversation, because that's actually something we talk about in a lot of the online programs that I offer and everything else. But I do want to say this. Make the phone call about the person in your network to get to know them. Do your pre-call planning the way you would any other appointment. Look at their LinkedIn profile. Google them. Google their company. Get some good questions and some talking points. But make them the star of that conversation. And at the end of the conversation, I want you to ask two questions. The first question focuses on the recipient. And you're going to phrase this any way you want, but you're basically going to say to them, hey, and call them by name. So if you're talking to me, hey, Paul, I have these calls all the time. I'm speaking to several people each and every week. So I'm meeting lots of people like you. What would be your ideal referral? Or who should I be on the lookout for you? And if I change the wording of that a little bit depending on the type of person I'm speaking with. For example, most of the people I'm speaking with are in sales, so they're looking for clients. So I'm asking, and I word it in a way that, you know, who would be an ideal client for them? But in other cases, I'm speaking sometimes with operations people, sometimes with HR folks. And what I do in those instances, because they're really not looking for a customer, what I do in those instances is I phrase it more along the lines of maybe a vendor that they're looking for, some kind of a partnership, strategic alliance they might be looking for. And I start there. I start with them. Now, before we move on and I tell you about the second question, because the second question is the money question here, I want to explain something to you. If you're speaking with 2 to 3 people from your network each and every week, and you're asking them, basically, who should I be on the lookout for that you want to meet, that you want to speak with, that can help you in some way, that could buy from you, whatever it is. And people are telling you that each and every week. What's going to start happening when you're having these calls is that a bell is going to ring and you say, oh my gosh, this person just described someone I spoke to just last week or a few weeks ago. Or that sounds like that guy, Paul Castain. He does sales training and they're looking for a sales trainer or whatever. That's what's going to happen. That's part of why you're having these calls every single week so that you can build a referral engine. And by the way, you're building this referral engine based on people who've never bought from you, that you haven't really had to bother with earning it in that respect. So now it brings us to the second question that I asked. So I've started by offering how I could help you in essence. Now, after we get done with that, and I make sure I really listen, that I'm not sitting here chomping at the bit to go ahead and serve me. Because if you ever been in a conversation like that, almost like when somebody is asking you how you doing, and you know the whole time they're not listening to you, all they really want you to do is just say, oh, okay, I'm fine, and how are you? Then they can open up and really spend like time talking about what they want to talk about themselves. So we really have to care. So now what I'm going to say is I'm going to say next. The second question is, hey, if you don't mind, there are some people that I would love to meet from your network. And then I ask the question, who do you know in your network who might be able to benefit from? And I give them a very quick synopsis. I try to break it down, like with my business, into 3 or 4 categories where I serve people. And I ask them who they might know. Now, there's some other little things that I do and how I ask, and I'm not going to get into that today. But the thing is, do you see what I've done here? I've created a segue by starting a nice little segue where we transition from really talking about our backgrounds, maybe anything we have in common, getting to know each other, to, hey, how can I help you? How can we network and build our businesses together? Who do you want to meet? Who would be an ideal customer? That kind of thing. Now I segue from that part into asking them for a referral, and I just simply say, who do you know that might be able to benefit from the things that I do? And just a quick overview, I do A, B, and C. Or you do your little elevator pitch type of thing or whatever. That's it. That's how I do it. And if you ever want to run the math, I want to share something with you. I have been doing this religiously. I pray over it every time I do it, religiously. I've been doing it since 2010, so that's 9 years. And I've done a minimum of 3 of these calls a week. And I just about always generate a referral. And my minimum that I do is 3 to 5 a week of these calls. When I knew I was going to be starting Castain Training Systems 8 years ago, What I did was for a few months leading up to, actually a few months, it was probably 6 months leading up to it, I did between 10 and 15 of these calls every single week. Because my theory was, in addition to cold calls, having these warm calls where I'm generating referrals is going to help me build my business. And it did. I mean, I started off launching Castain training systems based on these calls and this referral concept. And within the first 30 days, I landed 45 clients. True story, I've been talking about on the podcast, that one forever as well. So the second opportunity for you is your LinkedIn connections. Talking to at least 2 to 3 people a week. If you want to kick it up and go a little more aggressive, 3 to 5. I will make a suggestion to you if you like this concept, at least for the months of May and June, try to go at least 3 to 5. And the reason why, I want you to ramp up your efforts, because very soon here in the US, business is going to be falling off a cliff unless you serve industries that really thrive over the summer and really are booming. But for a lot of us, you're going to have instances where people say, hey, call me back after Labor Day, call me back after summer, call me back mid-September. And that's a lot of time, a big chunk of our year that gets lost. So what I want you to do is start ramping up those efforts now so that you go into the summer season with a little more padding. And this is great padding to have. You'll find referrals close a lot quicker than things that you where you go in cold. The final part of this one, but this mistake of asking only after you've earned it, is don't forget, similar to LinkedIn, your traditional network. And when you're networking, at the end of that conversation, the same two questions apply, where you ask them, hey, I go to lots of these networking events. I go to lots of these trade shows and enjoy the networking. Is there someone I should be on the lookout for that when I find them, I need to play matchmaker and put you guys together? Is there an ideal customer that you'd like me to be on the lookout for you? Hey, I've even said to people, and this kind of goes back to the LinkedIn thing, I've even said to people, look through my network, and if you see someone that you'd like to meet and you'd like me to facilitate a warm intro, let me know. I'll be happy to do that. So we're kind of giving in a way to create an opportunity to get. Now, there's some people are going to be bent out of shape with what I just said there. Like, that was some awful thing. Like, how dare you give and expect something in return? First of all, when I give, I don't expect something in return. But I'm also here to tell you there's absolutely nothing wrong with giving as part of your business plan, so that hopefully, I think people have a natural need to reciprocate. And don't turn this into something where you're putting it on the same level as a charity. Hey, listen, if you're giving to the Cancer Society and you're expecting them to do something back for you, okay, I get it. That's pretty shitty and that's pretty shallow. But in a business environment, when you're giving to someone, favors are done all the time. I never want you to feel bad about that. All I'm saying to you is just don't go run around making it apparent that you're keeping a scorecard. So that's the other opportunity while you're networking. That brings us to the next mistake. The next mistake that a lot of people make is not making it easy for people to give you the referral. Now, what do I mean by that? Many times, I mean, and well, let me just ask you guys questions. Please don't answer, because if you're sitting there talking to yourself in your office, it's going to look weird. Or you're in the car talking to yourself, it's going to look like you're from New York, like me. But seriously, it's how many times has someone told you, hey, you know what, I'm gonna get you that referral, and they didn't. Now, they weren't doing it to be an ass. I'm sure they were well-intentioned, but what happened was, a million things happened. There were fires to put out. There were all the interruptions that they have throughout the day. All the other, like, internal, external clients that they had to deal with. Their boss and strategic initiatives. And we can go on and on and on. So what we want to do is when somebody agrees to give us a referral, we want to make it super easy by doing the following. You want to create a template for them that is in a Word doc. And you're going to say to them, hey, I really appreciate this. Thank you so much. I'm going to really be looking forward to getting that referral from you within the next few days. Hey, to make it easy, if you don't mind, one of my homework items is going to be when I get back to the office, I'm going to send you this really cool template that basically says, Paul, meet John. John, meet Paul. You say a few words about each of us. You CC me or put us both on the two line, however way you want to do it. And then you send it. It's just you. All you have to do is just cut, paste, and modify the template I'm going to send you. The whole thing might be a whole, I don't know, about 75, 85 words. It's going to be short and sweet and simple. And then what I'm going to do, when you send this email out, I'm going to reply all thanking you, and then I'll run with it from there. This whole thing will take you no more than 5 minutes to do. I'm gonna make this easy for you. You see, if we make it easy for someone, we're gonna increase the probability of getting that referral from them. So that's what I do. I make it very easy. I tell them, hey, my homework is gonna be to get this to you. I have it already in a Word doc for them. I send it to them and I say to them, all you have to do is cut, paste, and modify. That's it. So that is the mistake. People not making it easy to get the referral. People get sidetracked. They're well-intentioned. And guess what? They forget. We want to make this painless. And by the way, there's something really cool that happens here. The act of sending them the template serves as a gentle reminder, a gentle nudge, if you will. The final mistake, for now anyway, is, you ready for this? Only asking once. Only asking for a referral once. And I'll give you two examples of where you might be doing this. The first thing is, again, you ask let's say you're asking your clients or whoever you're asking, and they say, I really can't think of anyone, or I'll get back to you if I can think of anyone who might be able to use your services. And then you don't hear from them. And then you think it's out of line to ask them again. Now, whether or not you want to remind them again a week or two after the, hey, what did you come up with? That's up to you. I don't think there's anything wrong in that. But there's certainly nothing wrong with revisiting this maybe a few weeks or like a few months down the line, the next quarter or whatever. There's nothing wrong in doing that. But the key to it is, and I've said this before on this podcast, there are certain things where we have to use repetition to drive a point home. And one of the points that we want to drive home with people from the time we meet with them, and almost like, you remember that rep said that you should ask at the end of that new prospect meeting. They're not even a customer yet. You haven't had a chance to wow them. Ask them then, because what you're doing is you're setting a level of expectation that you are also here to get referrals. So it's not going to shock them every time you ask them, because you're setting that level of expectation. So that's one of the things that I want you to think about. So again, asking only once. So you might ask and they say, yeah, I'll get back to you, and they don't. Or I'm going to give you the complete opposite. Someone gives you a referral. Now, somebody gives you a referral, I wouldn't ask them 24 hours later, but certainly the next quarter or the quarter after that. And the reason why is that business moves at the speed of light. Things are constantly changing. In the 27, almost 28 minutes you've been listening to this podcast, I promise you, something has changed somewhere. That's how quickly the world is moving, especially the business world. So where there might not have been a need 3 months ago, there might be a tremendous need right now. Think about things in your own life. Think about things that go wrong, right? Sorry to bring up a bad subject, but I'll give you an example from my life. And no, I'm not going to sit here and cry on your shoulders. It's nothing horrible. But a few months ago, if you had asked me if I needed some repairs on my car, I would have said no. But guess what? I need a new exhaust system. I happened to get a flat tire the other day, and there's something else going on with my car. And I was thinking, man, I'm going to go over to the mechanic, man. He's going to win the freaking tickets to the damn mechanic's ball this year, all the shit I got to get done in the car. But just a few months ago, a few weeks ago, I was fine. Me and my car were like, as far as Gump used to say, we were like peas and carrots. Now, God, man, we need like marriage counseling, me and my damn car. Got everything going wrong. But you see, this is what happens in business and in life. Things are constantly changing and evolving. So you can't just settle. The same way, like when you're cold calling and somebody says, hey, no, we don't have any need, we're all set. A month later, 5 weeks later, 6 weeks later, 3 weeks later, you could call up and they're like, hey, do you have the place bugged or something? We were just talking about how we need this. Get your ass in here. So things rapidly change. So you want to keep asking. I'm going to give you two ways that you can ask that are going to help you. So I hesitated there a little bit because I just want to back up and say one other thing. One of the other lessons that I've talked a lot about on this podcast is this idea of using theme and variation and really repetition. Theme, variation, repetition. So theme is when you think about something that you really want to drive home with people. And one of the things here in this context is we want to drive home the fact, hey, don't forget, there are people out there that you know that I could be helping. Who do you know? And we want to do that in a way that we're not being a pain in the ass. So the theme is asking for a referral. Now, the variation is that part where we do it without being a pain in the ass. See, if you vary the message, meaning what you say, and the vehicle, which is how you deliver it, how you almost like picture a Domino's delivery car. That's how the vehicle, that's how we're going to get that message. And there's lots of ways. We might get the message through LinkedIn. We might get the message to them through a phone call or conversation or over lunch or something creative. So you really want to think about the message and the vehicle. But the repetition is important because we're living in a world today that people generally don't get it the first time. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It doesn't mean that they don't care. It just means that there's so much noise, so much going on that they simply don't have you and I and our need for referrals on the brain. So what we need to do is find gentle ways of reintroducing that message and have them bump into that message in a way that we're not being repetitious. So repetition without being repetitious. And I just wanted to keep saying repetitious a lot. I don't know why. I just feel very cool saying it that way, like I'm like classy or something. But the thing that I want, or two ideas that I have for you, is if you do any kind of a quarterly business review with your clients, that could be an opportunity for you to segue into asking for a referral. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that within the quarterly business review. One of the things that you might want to think about is a little something, something that we like to call the stop or the start, stop, continue conversation. The start, each one of these is a cue for the type of question you should ask them. And you're going to put them in your own words, but a start question would be something along these lines. Again, feel free to modify this to your style and your personality. But one of the things I might say for a start question is during a quarterly business review, I might say to you, hey, listen, is there anything that you wish that like I would start offering you that I'm not offering you? Or is there anything you'd like to see me start to do that I haven't been doing for you? And what's really interesting about a start question is that many times you're going to see people who really don't understand that you actually offer the very thing they want. So it provides you with the segue to get them into another product or service. So for example, when I ask people, is there anything you'd like to see me start doing? I just asked this of someone who's been having me come out and train their sales force right in a traditional classroom. I fly out to see them. I'm right there with them face to face. And they said to me, boy, I really wish that you offered one-on-one coaching and online training. Now, I could have been a real ass with them and said, where the hell have you been? I've been sending you all kinds of stuff promoting the fact that I have a coaching program. It was in the very proposal that I sent you. I can go on and on about that, but that's not a good conversation to have with people, and nor would I. So instead, it gave me a wonderful segue to say, hey, guess what? Consider it done, because I have a one-on-one coaching program. Let me tell you about it. And also, too, I have an entire library of over 60 online courses that your team can use as reinforcement or moving ahead or whatever. And there's even an unlimited program I have where you just pay one price and you guys can go through it. The entire Salesforce has a subscription. So it opens up opportunity. So that's the start question. The stop question requires you telling your ego to get the hell out of the room. And seriously, because you cannot have an ego for the stop question. The stop question is, and you put in your words again, according to your style and personality, you're going to say, is there anything that I've been doing or that we've been doing as a company that you'd like to see us stop doing? And you take your damn medicine. Because if you don't take your medicine and you start getting defensive, then you are conditioning people never to be honest with you again. You remember what we said earlier? People avoid things that make them uncomfortable. So if they associate telling you the truth about your shitty service as being uncomfortable, they'll never tell you the truth again. Actually, that's a lie. They might tell you the truth one other time when they're telling you, thanks for the memories, later, we're going with your competitor. So to me, it's, you know, that old saying from the Tom Cruise movie, you can't handle the truth. We have to handle the truth, because sooner or later the truth comes out. And it's usually when people are signing the PO with our competitors. So to me, I may not like what you're saying, but to me, it's an education and it's an opportunity for me to fix the relationship before we have to get marriage counseling. So that to me is the best time to fix it. So that is the stop question. The continue question is where we can segue nicely into both a referral and a testimonial. What you might want to say here in your own words, according to your own style, is there anything where we need to make a note to self where you'd like to see us continue doing, that you find value in us doing? And right about now, if they answer in the affirmative and they pay you a compliment and they tell you how awesome you are and how you've saved their ass and how you've done these 11-hour miracles, what a great time to ask them for a referral. And also, what a great time to ask them for a testimonial as well. So that's something that you can do there, okay? So really, I was about to wrap up. There's one more thing, and I hope you're getting a lot of value out of this episode, because I've been trying to load it up with a lot of actionable things for you guys. The last thing here, another way that you can keep your message in front of people, is once a quarter, I want you to go into your auto signature in your email. And you know that auto signature, right? There's your signature and your title and your contact information. Maybe you have LinkedIn information on there that they can click on. I want you to put a space right underneath where your contact information, your name and contact information is. And then what I want you to do, put a space and then put PS. And once a quarter, put something in there about referrals and how one of the best compliments I get from my clients is when they love our service enough to offer a referral. Who do you know who could benefit from our widgets or whatever the hell it is? And do that once a quarter. Don't keep it there all the time. People tell me all the time, yeah, I liked it so much I kept it there all the time. That's as good as not having it there, seriously. Because you know what happens when you keep the same thing in an auto signature? You're training the eye, or two eyes if they have two, to not look at it again. And that's what, and let me give you an example. Do you know people have those cute little motivational things in their signature? Do you know people like who've had the same one for like 5 years now? Do you read it every time? No, you don't even look there anymore. Why would you? Why would you? You've been conditioned not to, because it's been the same shit for 5 years. So you don't want to do that with this referral thing. So what I would do is an action item, is figure out how you're going to word that one with a PS that's going to go in your auto signature. Put it in like very, very soon, so that you do this. Keep it up for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks or whatever. Maybe 2 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks, keep it in there. Then change out that PS with something else where you educate them about another product or service you offer, kind of like, PS, did you know, blah, 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 blah. And then set an alert that's going to go off, I don't know, another 10 weeks down the line or whatever, 8 weeks down the line or whatever. And then you're going to either repeat the message that you did about the referrals, or remember the theme and variation thing we've been talking about, where you have the theme of a referral or asking for one, but you vary the way that you say it. So perhaps that next message, you could change the wording a little bit so it doesn't seem like you're being repetitious. And that's it, folks. There you have it. Lots of ideas today. Lots of mistakes that people make, going through them very quickly. We said mistake number one, not asking for the referral. Mistake number two, asking only after you've earned it. Mistake number three, only asking once. Mistake, and I just went out of order here, whatever. Only asking once. Mistake number four, not making it easy for people to do. And that's when I said, have that template that you use that you're going to send them, and all they have to do is cut, paste, and modify. If you found value in today's episode, I want to let you know I have an entire session of our Rockstar Academy program, which is a downloadable sales training program. An entire session is dedicated to this idea of referrals, and we get into a lot more. This is just scratching the surface. We get into things about like how I ask for referrals, for starters. There's one way that I ask for referrals that has helped me double and triple the amount of referrals that I'm getting, because I ask in a very specific way. Then we get into some other things in terms of little networking things that you can do that can generate referrals, referral programs, you name it. But if you found value and you want to join us for the Rockstar Academy program, at least stop by and have a look at it. And by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar, all lowercase, all one word, yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Come visit our blog at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.